everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. We are so excited to be here with all of you. Except you're not here. It's just us.
And to be talking about this episode again.
I'm so pumped. But before we do that, one quick announcement.
Beep, beep, beep.
We were asked by a friend of ours, Laura Norton, who you all know and love, host of The Fall Line, writer of Lay Them to Rest, who's very passionate about solving cold cases and DNA, to check out Season of Justice. And this is a nonprofit group that is dedicated to solving cold cases and getting answers for families. And they have a big fundraiser, Jog for Justice. And I said, no, Katie and I do not jog. That's ridiculous. What is jogging even? Who are we, Remy Ramsaran? I don't think so.
No, and you've turned me off jogging forever because I just found out a lot of information last time that I don't.
Is it the bloody nipples?
There was just a few. You made it sound unpleasant. You maybe ruined marathons for me, and who knows what I could have accomplished, Kimberly? Who knows?
Right. It's never too late. This could have been the year you started running marathons.
It might be. Maybe I will run in this. Press on. Explain what we're talking about.
So they have a fundraiser. This is the first annual Jog for Justice, and it's a 5K, and it's virtual, meaning you can do it anytime from anywhere in the month of April, which is now. And all you have to do is sign up and join our team. It's $25, and that money goes towards solving cold cases. And do your 5K and then send in like a photo of your time. But you can walk it, you can run it, you could do whatever. Saunter. Skip.
Okay.
Sashay, Shantay. The options are endless. I will be walking because that's my jam. Slowly and listening to Watch What Crap
Is. I can't wait. I love it. It's a good cause, and it's walking, I've heard, is good for you.
I've heard it's great. It's better than sitting, which I do a lot of. Sitting is the new smoking. I'm not sure if you've heard that one.
Did someone say that or did you just say that?
People say that.
That's ridiculous, but okay.
Find us on social media. The links are in our bio and join our team. We're recruiting now.
Yeah, join our team.
It's all for an amazing, amazing cause. Thank you. This episode is an update episode, and I wasn't sure there was going to be enough new stuff to cover it, but there was. This is an update, which means we get to play the fun game. Will these two goldfish brains named Katie and Kimberly remember the original episode? And I actually feel like I did pretty well.
And I am the more goldfishy of the two goldfish brains. And I think I did too. Because even at the beginning, there were things later that I'm like, is this the one? Is this have surfing in it? I was getting little clues, and I was like, I think I do know this.
Yeah.
Okay, but how long ago did we do this? This feels recent.
It wasn't that long ago. We originally did it September 2022, so it was about like a year and a half ago. But so I'm just going to do a brief recap of the stuff that has already been covered, but I'm going to go into more detail on the new stuff, including the bonkers stuff at the end.
But there was some new stuff mixed in to the beginning. Is that what you're...
Yes, and I will go into anything I found enjoyable. But if I'm not hitting all the details of the case, you can go back and listen to our first episode, which was called The Last Ride in September of 2022.
The Last Ride?
Yes, and that went into way more detail. They cut out a lot this time around so that they could focus on the trial.
They did. Also, watch this episode.
Yeah.
Watch all episodes of Dateline, but definitely watch this episode.
Yes. This aired April 5th, 2024, season 32, episode 34, hosted by Keith Morrison, our lean king. We love him so.
Yes.
This is the story of Mariah Wilson. I'm just going right towards the murder. She is shot in Austin, Texas, at a friend's apartment in 2022. She was there for a bike race because she was a champion gravel racer, which I still don't totally get. And Keith and this one dude try to explain to us what gravel racing is, and they say it's a mashup of road and mountain biking. And then the one guy says, gravel can be fast, And I thought, okay.
I think it's extreme. I think it's hard.
And England is so different.
What?
That's from last week.
Oh, that's right. When I think of gravel racing, I think that's harder than normal bike.
For sure.
Okay.
They're on all terrains. They're like going through puddles that are like extreme puddles that are basically like riding through a lake, essentially. And then the guy explains that like in some regions of the country, the gravel is more sandy and in other places it's more chunky. And some of the rocks are very sharp. And I'm thinking of me at the park. And if the grass is slightly uneven, I fall and skin my knee.
Yeah.
So how would I do biking on sharp gravel? Not well.
Badly, poorly. But honestly, I think that the wipeouts on this, that's a precursor to later, the term wipeout.
Wipeout.
I think a wiping out on a bike race like this would be about 5 times more painful. And you're spending that much longer in the ER if you hurt yourself because you're in these kinds of terrains.
Your skin just comes off.
I do want to note that the friend's apartment she's staying at, her name is Caitlin. And I had forgotten that from last time, which just, there's a few double names in this.
There are.
Okay, that I picked up on.
And they went into more of them in the last time. But anyway, we'll get into it.
The friend also, just really quick, because we're going to skip over the what happens in the apartment. She shows unbelievable grace under pressure.
Yes.
Because she has to perform CPR from the 911 operator giving her the information, which I always feel like would be really difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And she sounds on the phone. She's like, okay, got it. And you can hear her pressing. And I'm like, wow.
She could have a career as a 911 dispatcher because she did it well. She could give directions, I bet.
She could be a first responder.
She could, yeah. And I'm watching Chicago Fire right now as part of my livelihood. And there's paramedics on it. And they're... Yeah. Wow.
The bravery.
And if you want to know more about what I've been watching, join us on Patreon for our live stream, Don't Watch Alone, where we talk about what we're watching on TV. Going into commercial, Keith says, in shifting shapes and slippery names, and oh, the deadly webs we weave when first we practice to deceive. He says deadly web and not tangled web because it's Dateline, but also because he's Keith Morrison and he can take whatever quote and he can just flip it. He doesn't care. He could be like, Romeo, Romeo, what for poop thou Romeo. He could just take a word and just change it. That was not a good example. I was trying to think of...
That's really bad.
I was trying to think of another phrase and I got nothing and I was an English minor.
Romeo, oh Romeo, where five out thou, Romeo.
Much better.
And then like the apartment number 5 shows up.
And then we're Keith Morrison and we're like, yeah, that's fine, Keith.
What is tangled web we weave?
Walter Scott.
When at first we practice to deceive. But is that how it starts? The knave and the other business?
No, that he added that in.
I'm sorry. And anytime you can worm the word knave into a narrative.
No, it's names.
Oh, it's not knave.
Slippery names.
Oh.
No, he didn't say knave.
Okay. Still good, Keith.
Still good. Still impressed. So Mariah, or Mo, as she was called by her friends, was young and huge in the biking scene. She was new, but she was a superstar. And she was also very humble and kind and just extremely well loved. So this crime of her being shot in this apartment, very personal, was outrageous to people.
Young, right?
Very young, in her 20s.
Early 20s. I think she's not even 25 when this happens. It's brutal. It's not fair.
The detectives get right to it, the investigation. They find a Jeep on security footage outside the apartment where she was killed, and it has a bike rack on it. And you're like,
And a luggage rack.
Someone in the bike world and someone that travels. Police go talk to Colin Strickland, who is another bike champion that Mariah had been on a date with the night she was killed. And they find the Jeep at his house. And then we see the detective talking to Colin, telling him about Mariah. This is the strangest conversation. The detective says to Keith, so I asked him, do you know? And then he'd like trails off dramatically. And so Keith finishes his sentence very knowingly, like Mariah Wilson, like, do you know? And he's like, Mariah Wilson. And then the detective says, well, no, not Mariah Wilson. And Keith goes, oh, like, he makes this, oh, like, oh, my bad. How embarrassing for me. I'm so wrong.
I was surprised too, Keith.
Excuse me. I rarely make mistakes as Keith Morrison. I laughed so hard because Keith is so expressive. Oh, the detective says, well, her name is actually Anna Maria Wilson. So then we're seeing on the video, the detective asks Colin, do you know Anna Mo? And Colin is totally lost. And he goes, Anna Mo? It's like the most
Who's on first?
Arrested Development, death notification ever. It's so sad, but it goes so poorly and it's on camera.
And for way too long.
For way too long.
What's the name after Anna Mo? He then still doesn't say.
Right.
He's like, or just Mo.
Just Mo. Or she goes by Mo. And then he goes, Wilson. And then he's like, oh, but the detective goes, I thought he was being deceitful because I know he knows Mariah. So he's lying to me. And I was like, no, you just said Anna Mo. And he thinks you said Anna Mo. So he's just confused. He's not being deceitful.
It also sounds like you're talking about Ann Wilson.
Right.
I would be confused. He's also like unbelievably laid back. He's just sort of not giving any reaction. And I think that also Detective Spittler is his name, is trying to get a big reaction.
Yeah, that's not Colin.
No.
It's not in his personality.
Not at all.
Is Ann Wilson the one from Heart?
Yeah, it is. Alone till now. Sorry, that song is great.
I always got by. That's such a good song.
One of my favorite things is going on YouTube and watching people's reaction.
To that song?
To Heart.
Oh, that's good. They did it on Glee and it was really good.
How dare you?
I know, I know.
How dare you?
Also, they did it on Bob's Burgers. And Jean is singing, and it's great.
That I would love. Also, her doing Stairway to Heaven at the Led Zeppelin Kennedy Center Honors was unbelievable. If you haven't seen that, go watch that too.
The detective thinks he's being deceitful, and he's like, Mariah Wilson. And Colin's like, oh, yeah, yes, I do. And like, it was just so awkward. He knows Mariah. They went to a burger place and to swim that night when she was murdered, because this is what super athletes do for dates, is they go swim. And
don't judge us too harshly if you're listening to this first before going back and listening to our previous episode, because I believe we may have talked like a hair too long about swimming on a date and how neither one of us are confident enough to do such an activity on a date.
It's the goggle red marks on your face and the snot coming out of your nose, and it's just very awkward.
I don't have the kind of face that could handle it. Mo does.
No, and I don't have the hair or the face or the bod. Let's just
Mo
be real.
Is a beautiful, beautiful young woman, and it's like great, and I envy that.
She's also in her 20s.
I know, it doesn't, even in my 20s, under no circumstances am I going for a swim. But also,
yeah.
She's just, in all of her pictures, she's got just that sort of effervescent, like, yeah, hey, we're going to go on this hike right now. Oh, sure, let me grab my shoes. Like, there's no planning. She's just going.
Ready to
and
go.
She's in exercise and nature. Good for her.
Yeah. So they go to this place called Deep Eddy, which I think is the pool, and then a place called Pool Burger, which is the burger place. And that just makes me think the burger tastes like chlorine.
Yeah, it does.
So Brand's unhappy being on Dateline. He says they had dated previously before this date night. Their very short amount of time when he was on a break with his girlfriend, who is a yogi / realtor, Caitlin Armstrong. And I do remember in the first episode, Keith asks the burning question, is she related to Lance Armstrong? Because it was biking, and I think Lance is from there. He disgraced the whole cycling community. So anyway, she's not related.
Does Lance Armstrong do yoga? Feels like probably.
Probably. Well, I saw him on that Stars Go to Mars show.
I'm sorry, what are stars doing?
They went to Mars.
They didn't go to Mars.
No, it was fake Mars. It was like a big set in a big space station, and they had to do challenges.
In zero gravity?
No, that was the worst part. There was no zero gravity. But the landscape was very red rocks and sand, so they would send them out into the desert.
The landscape?
Was
the landscape, was that joke made?
No, no one ever said that.
That's
before.
A pity. You guys need to call me.
It was fascinating, and no one really liked him. Back to Colin, who was dating his longtime girlfriend, Caitlin Armstrong, but during a break that he had dated Mariah. And Caitlin didn't know that he was still in contact with her and didn't know that they had gone out on a date that night. He also had Mariah in his phone under a different name because Caitlin was jealous and would go through his phone. And the detective says he described her as being a regular kind of jealous girlfriend, which Keith thinks is hilarious. He's like, oh, the regular kind of jealous girlfriend. Keith has only had Glenn Close jealous girlfriends, I think. Because wouldn't you, if you were dating Keith?
No, I could see Keith having no jealous girlfriends because he being zero tolerant of that.
Right.
So it would be very quickly, they would not be his girlfriend.
Right, I can see that.
I could see him sniffing that out a mile away.
Yeah.
Also, a regular kind of jealous girlfriend is like normalizing jealous and people going through other people's personal property in a way that makes me really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't like this.
What were his other girlfriends like if she's being normal jealous by going through his phone?
I don't know. Ripping up shirts?
Setting fire to things?
Waiting to exhale? Doesn't she set fire to stuff?
She's going Angela Bassett.
I don't know. This seems... Were they really on a break? I think is going to be the question that we have
here. It seems like regardless, Colin is kind of a dog. And even if he's not, he's messy. He's very messy with these relationships and these women's feelings.
Yeah, maybe. We're not getting the whole story for sure.
He says the Jeep is Caitlin's. He doesn't drive the Jeep ever because it's a Barbie car. And he likes diesels and manual transmissions and motorcycles and things that are hard to drive.
No, you lost me. You've lost me, Colin.
Colin is doing the most to make me not like him. It's like he's trying extra hard to make Kay and Kay hate him.
It's not good.
I don't remember this part in the first episode.
It wasn't here. A lot of this interview is new. We do not get this
much.
I'm sorry,
a Jeep is a Barbie car? A black Jeep is a Barbie car because it has an automatic.
Are we being naive? That's not a Barbie car. A Barbie car is like a pink BMW. I don't know, but not that.
If I'm being generous with the phrase, the super sexist phrase Barbie car, I might say
the pink convertible.
Yeah, but no, I might stretch it even further. And what was Pam's? I was going to say a Jetta. Let's be real.
A cabriolet. That's the convertible Jetta.
Okay. But I would say even just a regular Jetta.
I was trying to make it more narrowed.
If you're a douchebag, douche-caddy guy, you are going to say a Jetta, just a plain, normal Jetta that anybody could have. You would be like, oh, that's a Barbie car.
So he's a gravel biker who likes diesel cars that are hard to drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Colin. We learn that also Colin is constantly sponsored by like Red Bull and everything he owns is sponsored. I think he wears a Ducati shirt at one point. It's just constantly branded. His hats, his shirts.
I think that's what happened.
It is because you get the shirt, you get the free stuff, the swag.
I remember like when I used to work at a place where people came in and sold their clothing, we'd get professional skateboarders and they would come in with just giant duffels of just DC skate shoes or Vans. Or whoever they were sponsored by. And they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you guys want them?
Yeah.
They didn't even care about the money.
Yeah.
Because they were making so much money. They're like, somebody here is going to want them, right?
That doesn't happen with podcasts.
It was bizarre. But I think that's how snowboarders, skiers, all those things that are extreme sports.
Yeah.
The people that do the dirt bikes.
Yeah.
You know, the shorty bikes. They're just all branded.
So Colin and Mariah met at a race and sparks flew, even though they keep showing photos of people and Mariah and Colin all sunburned and sweaty and covered in dirt and gravel. And it just doesn't seem very sexy. But I am not an athlete, as we've made clear many times.
But I think that's super sexy to athletes.
I think it's super sexy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colin is helpful to the police until they start asking more questions about his girlfriend, Caitlin, not related to Lance. They ask, where does she work? I don't know where she works. You live with her. How do you not know where she works?
Because I drive cars that are hard to drive and I don't have time to ask questions.
Right.
I'm busy gearing up for the 10K on Mountain Head Island or whatever.
And Keith goes, oh, when the detective says he doesn't know where she works. Oh, Colin says they own what Keith calls his and hers handguns. The reason they got the guns is because Caitlin had been in some sort of fight or altercation with a houseless individual, which I would love to hear more about because she is a can I speak to the manager person. And she would want to speak to the manager of houselessness.
I would like to know if that's true.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like Colin doesn't ask a lot of questions.
No.
That she would be able to be very, very vague on the topic. And does she like Colin?
She doesn't want anyone else to have him. But they're also in business together. They reno mid-century trailers. Which is a thing. So they also have this like business connection. And in the first episode, it goes more into lawsuits that they were involved in. And
they were in lawsuits?
Trouble with the business and financial things. So they're mid-century trailers. They're very entangled. Police corroborate Colin's story about his date the night before. I corroborated from the video that he gave Mariah his motorcycle helmet and he wasn't wearing one. Don't love that, Colin. I know you like to be rough and manly, but you still need to protect your noggin. But good chivalrous for giving it to Mariah.
You haven't talked about the motorcycle yet. When are they going on the motorcycle?
He took Mariah to the chlorine burger place. On the video, she's wearing his helmet and he's not wearing one. I guess it's good that he gave it to her.
Yeah, Kimberly. Okay, number one, he likes cars that are difficult to drive.
Right.
Unsafe motorcycles and extreme gravel biking.
He wears a helmet when he's riding his bike, his cycle.
He didn't have another helmet handy. It's his way of being chivalrous, so yeah. Let's just give it to him.
They find out that Caitlin has a warrant out for theft of Botox services, which is both humiliating and hilarious. She got a bunch of Botox and did not pay for it and let that bill fester for so long that there is now a warrant out for her.
How?
I don't know.
How do you do that? You got the service and ran? Like, it's an eat and run?
My credit card's in my car. I don't know how that works. Or you disagree. Maybe it's a payment plan and then you just never pay it.
What?
Yeah. Also a lot of Botox because it was like $600 or $800. So she had several areas done.
Her whole face and neck.
They bring her in to the police station and she's wearing her leggings with the leg warmers that go over her feet, even though it's not cold in Austin at all.
Their leggings. They're called the Aloe Goddess. I think we talked about these last time. They're the goddess leggings from Aloe. They're really comfortable, but they're made to look like that. Yes, ma'am. And they have little cutouts for your ankle, like your little heel sits in it, so it looks like little stirrups.
Okay, it brought me back to Joni teaching aerobics.
They are 5 miles long because they're meant to scrunch.
She's very tall. Okay, there was a recent episode about Family Guy about aerobics. It was really funny. Let me know if anyone saw it. I'm not going to describe it here.
Family Guy is still on the air?
Family Guy is still, yes, still on the air.
Still new episodes?
Yes.
Wow.
Caitlin is cool as moose in the interrogation. She says she didn't know that Colin was hanging out with Mariah that night. She seems a little brusque, but that could be because they have handcuffed her for the Botox warrant. And then they say, actually, our bad, you're not under arrest because the birth date on the warrant is the wrong date. So it's for somebody else. And we just messed up. It's funny. Ha ha. But while you're here, let us ask you about this murder. And she's like, I don't know anything. Just very, I don't know anything.
What do you do in this situation?
I would be nicer about being arrested by mistake. I would like to think, but I am a people pleaser until the end.
I think I'd be pretty angry that they did actually handcuff me, bring me in, and probably scare me to death.
It's valid.
And then you just got the birth date wrong, so somebody else with my name, which is fairly common, as is yours, is the person that actually skipped out on
right.
the bill. Also, I would be paranoid that I actually had done that.
Okay, but we find out later she has done it. And she knows that she has done it. And she knows that they are not making a mistake, but they just think they're making a mistake.
If, in fact, it was a mistake, I would be like, I need to go. I don't want to sit here and talk about anything else. Bye-bye. But she is the coldest person. It's the chill in the room is intense.
I'd be like, this is my chance to be on Dateline.
Really chilly.
She's chilly. She's not a warm person. For a yoga teacher, especially, she is not warm at all.
Are yoga teachers warm?
Yes. Generally, not the ones we see on TV. They usually pick the weirdest ones to put on TV.
Okay.
But I'm thinking of Danielle from 90 Day Fiancé. But the yoga teachers I have had were all pretty warm.
Okay.
They say, well, your Jeep was seen near the crime scene. And she just nods her head very subconsciously, but doesn't say anything. So Keith was just blown away by watching her body language. She's very cool, calm, collected, but then her nods are kind of giving her away. But she's not saying, no, my Jeep was not at the scene. She's just not saying anything. And then she tells them she wants to leave and she wants them to give her a ride home, which again is, I guess, valid because she doesn't have a car there. And they don't hold her.
They try really hard, though. They do try to get some information out of her about this murder. And she's doesn't change mode at all, which is also even more startling that she stays one level the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not arrested? Oh, okay. Oh, there's a murder? You want to talk to me about it?
Right.
Like, it's all the same flatline.
So I guess I'll go home. They didn't hold her, and Keith says, but oh, how they wished they had. Colin tells police that Caitlin had called Mariah previously before the murder and said, essentially, I'm sorry that you seem to be confused. He belongs to me. That boy is mine. But I would say to Caitlin, I'm sorry that you seem to be confused. You need some REM sleep. You should try the hatch.
Great job.
Hatch is there for you to help you sleep better. A million things don't want you to sleep. Hatch does. I recently saw one of these Hatch commercials and they're saying like, this doesn't want you to sleep and this doesn't want you to sleep. And it said, cannibal soccer players don't want you to sleep. And I was like, yes, you see me, Hatch. Yellow Jackets has kept me up many a night. Lately, my sleep schedule has been disrupted by my new obsession, diamond painting and watching Chicago Fire. I always want to do one more episode, one more row, just a little bit more.
No.
I would do it way past my bedtime if it were not for my Hatch Restore. I have a sleep reminder. It goes on at a certain time. It has this beautiful deep purple color. And I picked the sound of owls hooting. And aww. So when I hear that coming from my bedroom, I'm just going to fall asleep right now. That's my trigger that it's time to, it's like Pavlov's dog. And I hear that coming from my bedroom. And that means it's time to drag myself to bed. And then when I get to bed, I listen to their Pillow Talk series that comes with the Hatch Plus subscription. First, I listen to this thing called I'll Scroll For You, which is this woman reading stuff on her phone. And it's like drama from Nextdoor and Reddit or drama from her friends. They're texting back and forth about what so-and-so's douchebag boyfriend did. And it's so interesting to me that I have to put that one first because otherwise I won't fall asleep because I want to keep listening. And then, so that's just for a few minutes. And then it goes to ASMR or It's Crime for Bed, which is the really relaxed crime series, and I never make it through those. I am out like a light.
There you go.
This stuff is created so there's no loud noises or music or ads that come up. Like if you're watching YouTube or listening to podcasts, there's no sudden Kimberly laughing really loud that wakes you up. There's no bright light. You just pick a custom soothing light. You can put it really dim. I love it. And then I gently wake up to a slow sunrise alarm that mimics the sun rising and sounds of the ocean. And so it's really relaxing and doesn't jolt you awake. I am building better sleep habits that are making sleep a much less stressful, anxiety-inducing thing for me, which is how it's been most of my life. I wish this was around when I was a kid. I was a horrible sleeper. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/datedateline. Visit hatch.co/datedateline to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/datedateline. Thank you, Hatch.
Hatch yourself some good sleeping habits.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Hatch.
So Colin has told them, yes, she was very jealous. She called Mariah and sang "That Boy Is Mine" to her, or that's how I imagine the phone call went. But he doesn't think she was jealous enough to murder. That he cannot comprehend. But then a couple more people come forward and say, yeah, I'm friends with Caitlin. And one time we were at this party and Mariah was there and she said, I'm going to kill that girl. And I said, don't say that. And she said, no, really, I'm going to kill her. And I just got a gun.
Don't be friends with her anymore.
Why are you friends with her? None of this is very tree pose for a yoga instructor, I'd like to say. They also can match Caitlin's gun to the bullets. It's probably a match. They feel like they have enough to arrest Caitlin. They go to find her, but she is chaturangaing in the wind. She is on the lam. She's taken the lam and the yoga mat, and she has skipped town.
Oh, boy.
Then, as they realize that she's gone, they also realize that the birth date on the Botox warrant was not wrong.
I have a lot of questions.
It was for her. It was the right date. They could have held her. And so they have to go on the news and say, we have a suspect for the murder. She was mistakenly let go. This is all just super embarrassing for the Austin Police Department, I have to say. They think she skipped town. They go to security footage of the airline and they find her flying to New York with her yoga mat, which I remember from last time, because why do you have to take your yoga mat with you? Just buy a new one when you get there. They are not that expensive.
Is this the episode where I find out that you have done yoga?
Perhaps. And I just still don't know how you didn't know that.
And my world broke apart.
I have never hidden it.
Well, you haven't exactly talked about
it.
No. Okay. You talk about diamond painting a ton.
That's
That's really true. It's not like you don't talk about your hobbies.
Right.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
It would be like if you found out that I had taken up rollerblading.
Right.
But like had been doing it for a long time. And just had never brought it up.
Right.
Another thing.
But you know, like I used to dance growing up.
I do know that.
And so yoga and stretching, you know how my mom stretches constantly, like while you're watching TV.
Yeah. Again, none of this equates. This would still not lead me down the path of, well, Kimberly Shirley does yoga. No, no. Okay. We need to talk about the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force.
Okay. Why aren't they wearing big cowboy hats?
They need a uniform.
I was disappointed.
I mean, it's such a good name. It sounds made
up. They need mustaches and those Stetson hats.
It should be a requirement. And then it has a very distinctive band around it, around that you know they're part of the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force. Because it also has to be said in its entirety every single time. It's great. There's two really good names of law enforcement people in this.
It's like SLED.
Yeah.
From the Murdochs.
But SLED's a good acronym. This does not get an acronym. This has to be stated Lone Star Fugitive Task Force. It says exactly what it is. If you break the law in Texas, we're coming to find you.
Mm-hmm. They track her to New York, where her sister lives. She apparently, from there, took her sister's passport and flew as her sister to Costa Rica. So now U.S. Marshals, Costa Rican officials, a whole bunch of agencies.
No, not just Costa Rican officials. The Diplomatic Security Service combined with the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force.
You need a whole an acronym for both of those. They are tracking her throughout Costa Rica, but they're always one step behind. One of the agents makes a very good point, which I really kind of hit home for me. We have all these photos of her smiling, but if she's taking the lamb and just walking around town with her resting bisque face, she's not going to be smiling and she could look like two totally different people. Some people, especially resting bee face women, have totally different faces.
RBF.
RBF when they're smiling or when they're not smiling. So he wants to release photos of her smiling, but also of her with RBF.
Does it have to be that? Just not smiling?
Well, I was thinking about all the people who go missing on Dateline and they put up missing posters of them smiling. And I was like, if that girl is kidnapped, she's not going to be walking around smiling. She's going to look terrified.
You need to not put a very good picture up when someone goes missing. That's what I've decided. I just watched a show recently that had the missing poster they used. They did have one good picture, like it of smiling, and it was like her dolled up. But the other pictures they used were everyday clothes, like she would wear around, and like a good full body shot that was not a dress. Do you know what I'm saying? And then the face that they showed was not smiling at all. It was almost just a candid caught on accident shot. And I was like, that's perfect for a missing poster because that's exactly what people look like.
What if they got like kidnapped and put into a cult? Then you should put a picture of them like with their hair tied back and they're wearing
or like no eyebrows.
And no, they have no eyebrows. Whatever you look like when you join Nexium. I don't know.
Like Tilda Swinton. Although Tilda Swinton is beautiful.
There are a whole bunch of photos depending on where you think they have gone missing.
Yeah.
Or what situation they have gone missing into. They released this photo of her looking very cranky about, I don't know, messing up her Warrior II pose or something. They get a lead that Caitlin has dyed her hair and was going by Beth and then sometimes going by Ari. She had gone to a big yoga community by the beach called Santa Teresa. She had been booking reservations at different hostels under different names and then not showing up, which is either very smart to throw off the officials or just very inconsiderate towards the hostel owners.
Where is she staying then?
Different hostels. If you make three reservations, then they don't know which one you're at. Or maybe you make one under a totally different name, but you use the same aliases that you think they're after. I don't know. There's lots of different ways you could do this. But this also sounds so stressful, constantly looking over your shoulder and using different names. Yeah. Thank God she does yoga to relieve all this stress.
No, be stressed.
She deserves to be stressed.
You deserve to have some serious stress.
Agents come to Santa Teresa and think that she's going to stick out like a sore thumb because she's tall and very American looking. They realize right away that this is a tourist yoga mecca, which I could have told them because I watch a lot of House Hunters International. And any episode that is in a Latin American country is it's a yoga person wanting to start a yoga studio and they don't know Spanish, but they think they can get around.
Oh, God.
every episode. Costa Rica, Guatemala, every... No. I'm telling you, every episode.
No, no, no. We can't have this. Also, she did steal your hair, and I'm grumpy with her.
That's so flattering, because I thought she had great hair.
For most of this episode, she stole your hair.
My other point about this is that Costa Rica, being one of the world's top yoga destinations, they sell a lot of yoga mats there. You didn't have to fly with yours.
Okay, that I did have a question about that. Now that we know that you're a yogi. Sorry, is a yogi a person that teaches yoga?
No, I think it's just a person who does it. I wouldn't even consider myself a yogi. I don't do it that regularly currently.
You're a yoga enthusiast.
Yeah.
You've done yoga. You know the poses. You knew what a warrior two was, yeah, and how it differs from a warrior one. You're basically an expert. Is a yoga mat something that is personalized to you? Like my rollerblades. Those are formed to my feet and they're special to me. And I would not want to wear other rollerblades if I went to a rollerblading nation. I don't know where they do that. Germany?
Right.
If I was to go to Germany and partake in their, yeah, rollerblading excursions, I would want to bring my own. Are yoga mats personalized to you? Do you find one that works for you and it works, or can you use any mat?
I personally have to use one of mine because my joints, my wrists, they're not good. So I need like a really thick one.
That might be what's happening then.
Most people can go to a class and you, if you don't go regularly, you just take the ones they have at the class.
But we know she goes regularly. We know she's really into it. So I'm guessing she has a very fancy mat.
She's also on the run for murder. So unless this thing is made of gold, you can get a new one that you like in Costa Rica.
Maybe she's hiding money in the mat. There's always money in the yoga mat. Maybe it's that. Maybe she's got like...
That's impossible.
Hundies but slipped
that
in.
That would be amazing.
Gold bullion.
Yeah.
All around the end.
It's so ridiculous. And it's one of the reasons they recognized her on the camera, even with the mask on, is because she's carrying a yoga mat in the airport. And then that makes them go...
Which feels like a weird flex.
Yeah, it does. It feels like bragging. Like, oh, I have to use my own. And so it makes them think, she's going to somewhere where they have a lot of yoga. She's going to do her yoga stuff there.
Also, you're getting on a plane with a yoga mat. There's a really good chance that somebody else on the plane does yoga and is excited to talk to somebody else who does yoga about it. So when you carry it on and you're putting it up in the overhead compartment, there's a good chance that someone's going to be like, what kind of yoga do you do? I'm thinking about getting into that. That you're going to talk, right, to someone and you need to be invisible.
That's a good point. And yoga-ing might be a bit like marathoning and veganing, veganism.
Ask me about my veganism.
That I'm Remy and I'm Mr. Marathon. It might be like that. And yeah, you would want to kind of bond with another yoga person.
Mr. Manager.
The Mr. Manager. Just manager. The agents try to blend in Costa Rica and dress touristy along the beach trying to find her, which is so funny. And I wish I could have seen pictures of what they dressed like.
Me
because
too.
They're so prim and proper on Dateline in their suits, and their hair is so gelled and perfect because they're agents. You know, we are agents.
Yeah.
I really want to know what they dressed like when they went to the surf competition.
I would say the first thing you need to do is just grow out facial hair. Do not shave.
Yeah.
You need scraggle.
And no beards, gel in your hair.
And yeah, just...
Like Tommy Bahama? No, just like anything floral.
Or just like a t-shirt, just plain.
A ripped t-shirt, like with the hole in the armpit.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. And they're staring. They're not even paying attention to the surf competition. They're staring at all the ladies like full-on creepers. I'm sure they were blending. But their trip to Costa Rica to find Caitlin is going terribly. Half of their team gets sick with COVID. They're running out of time. There's a hurricane a-coming. And it's just like disaster. They join in a last-ditch effort to join a local Facebook group pretending to be hostel owners looking for yoga teachers, which is a pretty good plan. And they're hoping to get some submissions. They get a submission. Someone wants to meet with them. They're a yoga teacher. Huh? They set a time and place, but then the person cancels and says, the place I'm staying, the guy who owns it, his uncle is sick and he needs me to watch the hostel. So they think, what kind of dinky, horrible place where the owner just lets this rando American watch the hostel? That has to be Don John's. It's the crappiest place in town. It's the only place where the owner would be like, I'm going out of town. You can be in charge.
Yeah.
They go and they see a lady that kind of looks like Caitlin. She has a bandage across her nose, but they recognize the unsmiling eyes. She has resting bisque eyes, RBE. So they're like, that's her. They call in the police and the police ask her her name and she says Ari, which was one of the aliases that she had been using. So they're like, yep, that's her. Let's do it. So that marshals call her in and they say, no games. What's your name? She like stares at them. And finally she says, Caitlin. They say, okay, what happened to your nose? And she says, well, I got hit with a surfboard. And they're like, nope. I don't think so.
Try again.
They search her belongings at the hostel and they find receipts for plastic surgery. She got a nose job and a brow lift under the name Allison with two S's. Which is super sus.
Yeah, it is.
That's what the two S's stand for. Super sus. Katie's lifting up her brow.
I don't understand a brow lift very much, I think. I saw a thing on it, but why do you want to look surprised?
Yeah. Then we meet this guy, Teal. Remember Teal?
Oh, I would never forget Teal. Teal is Teal too much.
Teal has somehow grown up in Costa Rica his entire life, but talks like Spicoli.
Teal is Spicoli. And if you don't know what we're talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Seal, I named him Surfy McCatchawave, is what I called him.
No, it's Surfing Hang 10 is the middle name.
Surfing Hang 10 McCatchawave.
Yeah.
And so Oliver heard one of Teal's segments, and he's like, are you still watching Dateline? And I showed him and I said, this guy decided not to wear a shirt in his Dateline interview. And I showed it to him and he's like, what's going on?
We were all wondering the same thing, Oliver.
And I said, I can't catch you up on Teal right now.
Yeah, I don't have time for that, Oliver. Listen to our past episode
on Kimberly's new boyfriend.
He met Caitlin, who was going by a different name at the time, and she friend zoned him right away because she was traumatized over a recent breakup and a murder that she committed. They bonded. They never kissed or anything.
I still don't believe it. I didn't believe it last time, and I don't believe it this time.
I do actually believe it. They went on like 4 dates, but never kissed. And then when he finds out from the agents that she has been lying to him about everything, he is just devastated. He's like, that was my everything. You never kissed. I still don't understand that. He is a beach philosopher, as Keith calls him. And so he says, it's a bummer. You know, we're all just God's lost children. And everybody's on their life trip, just trying to figure it out. And no matter how much yoga you know, you're still just one of those people on that ride. Beautifully said, Teal.
We couldn't have brought the beach into it at all, riding that wave.
Yeah.
It was right there, Teal. And the ocean is behind you. We're still all just riding that wave.
Mm-hmm.
Teal. I need to write Teal a letter.
I feel like if a friend passes away, Teal gives the eulogy. And at the end, he looks up at the sky and he says, hang 10, brother.
He absolutely does.
But he might say bra.
Teal also has a surprising lack of tattoos.
Yeah, no tattoos. Shave chest.
I would expect one at least.
Yeah, maybe it's somewhere else that we can't see.
Might be his entire back. Actually, I take that back. We don't know.
A phoenix or a dragon.
Yeah, he has like a giant back piece.
Ben Affleck.
Phoenix on a surfboard.
Yeah. So Caitlin is flown back to the United States and they are starting to piece together how she escaped. They figure out that she sold her car to CarMax and they have her on video footage. Guess what she's carrying as she's selling her car?
I'm done.
Yoga mat. If the CarMax people didn't remember her from the yoga mat, at least they have it on camera. Because you know she's like, oh, well, I'm selling my car. I just got to clean it out. And the most important thing in my car is my yoga mat.
She probably has a really clean car, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet you she has zero food wrappers. Maybe a Kind bar wrapper.
Yeah, yeah. The thing she didn't know about the car thing is it still holds the GPS information. So it shows that she drove around the apartment Mariah was staying at, like circling creepily the night Mariah was murdered. And then right before the murder, pulled over by a church, ironically, the car was off for 36 minutes during the time Mariah was murdered. And then the car drove away.
Why did it take 36 minutes?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't like it.
The car stopped right after Mariah went in the house, I think. So she followed her in, did the shooting, and then stayed for a little bit?
No, I think maybe. Well, how close to her getting home, the door unlatching to the car stopping?
Yeah, I gotta go rewatch that part.
Because I'm wondering if she sort of lied in wait, sort of around.
Yeah, she definitely was lying in wait, 100%, waiting for Mariah to get back from her date with Colin.
So you had time to think about it. It's so worse that you had all of this time to really think and be like, wait, I'm here. I have a gun in my hand. I'm going to kill this young person.
I'm at a church.
Right.
What would God want me to do? Spoiler alert, not this. What would a yogi want you to do?
I would really like to see some humanity. Namaste. In her face, in her attitude, in anything that Caitlin does. And it's just really hard to see.
Yeah. They also catch the car driving by a neighbor's front porch camera. And on the Ring camera, you can hear Mariah screaming and gunshots. And it's horrible.
Oh my God. They did not play that last time.
No, they did not.
I kind of hope the family didn't watch this episode.
Yeah. I'm sure they played that at the trial.
That would hurt. That hurt me, and I did not know her. So that's horrible.
Heartbreaking. Now we meet Caitlin's defense attorney, who last time Keith had a whole snippy kind of back and forth. So I think it's worth going back and watching that original episode.
We get some of it.
We get a tiny bit, but it was like way longer last time.
I'm sorry. Also, is his name Christopher? Is his name Christopher?
Unsure.
His name is Chris Cofer.
Oh, Chris.
But when you say it together, his name is Christopher.
Isn't that very much like the guy on Glee? Chris Colfer.
Christopher Cofer.
Yeah, Chris Cofer. He says Caitlin fled the country because she thought her boyfriend Colin was the murderer and she was freaked out. Okay.
No.
Keith says, so can you prove that she wasn't there that night? And he says, I don't have to. That's not the way the justice system works, Keith Morrison. But kind of you do have to prove that if they have an alibi, if you're trying to prove they're innocent, right?
He appears to be threatened by Keith Morrison's Keith Morrisonness.
Yeah. Keith is like listing all of the circumstantial evidence and he goes, what if I told you 98% of that was totally wrong? And Keith is like, I would love to hear it. Leaning in, is going to be a great soundbite. He's like, first I had Leah Askey and now I have this guy. Let's go for it.
Wow.
Then we have the best update to this story. It's 3 weeks until Caitlin's trial in 2023. Caitlin has a doctor's appointment outside the jail at an orthopedics office.
What is orthopedics?
Like your joints, your legs, your back, your knees, your wrists, your elbows.
She does have a fancy yoga mat then.
She might.
Isn't that what you said? Yoga mat has to be thick because of your joints, right? Your wrists?
Yeah.
Maybe she has the same.
I don't know how she hurt herself with all the yoga. Yoga's pretty good for your joints and things like that.
Don't sometimes people do yoga to get over an injury?
Yes.
Maybe you're in a car accident and you start doing it and you get into it, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
We solve the puzzle.
But my main question is, like, I've seen every episode of 60 Days In, and you could be attacked by another inmate and your eye is literally dangling outside of your head and they won't take you to a doctor. The guards won't do anything to help you. So they're taking her to a doctor. And her keepers, who are a male and female transport officer, they walk her to the car at the doctor's parking lot. And Caitlin, all of a sudden, bolts like Usain. It's on camera. More on that later. She's wearing black and white striped pants like the Hamburglar.
She is fully dressed like the Hamburglar.
But she's very fit. So like,
rabble, rabble.
If the Hamburglar got into Pilates... What did you say?
Rebel, rebel. Yeah. Isn't that what the Hamburglar says?
No idea. She is being chased by this guard who runs up this tiny little slope of grass and trips and falls, pulls a Kimberly, full on Kimberly. And then Caitlin gets to the fence and Caitlin tries to hop the fence, but she can't because there's no hop a fence pose in yoga.
I think she thinks it's like parkour. Like, she's going to have so much adrenaline, she's going to be able to jump building to building.
Totally. It doesn't work.
Rubble, rubble. It is rubble, rubble, by the way. Rubble, rubble. It's rubble, rubble is what it, the hamburgers.
The guard catches up to her. I watched as much footage as I could find online because Dateline doesn't show very much, but I found more online. Caitlin does this spin maneuver around a tree. And the guard goes to one direction around the tree and Caitlin goes to the right. So the guard's like going to the right and Caitlin's going to the right. So it's like they're chasing each other around. It's like a dog and a squirrel.
It's a lot.
Chasing each other around this tree for a second.
My God.
Then, God bless her, this guard is not giving up. Not giving up.
No.
So I found this video online. They show as much of it as they can. And they also interview the lady who took the footage. So it's this lady.
Oh, I thought it was the dash cam from the police car. Oh my God.
No, it is a lady who made it into a TikTok and she is filming it from her car. She is going to the doctor's office herself. She has an appointment. She pulls over the car because she sees this woman chasing this other woman dressed like the hamburger. She starts filming. So they say the chase was like a block and a half and 10 minutes. I don't know how it was 10 minutes if it's only a block and a half, but because they keep just going around a tree.
Because she's bobbing and weaving. She probably tried to get up in the tree at some point and he's like pulling on the pants.
Serpentine, Babu. Serpentine.
Serpentine. Is this lady giving narrative as she's watching it?
No, but when she goes on the news, she's laughing so hard. She's like, she's like, let's just say the guards were struggling. And the guy guard is struggling way more than the female guard. And remember, the female guard is the one that tripped and fell. So I'm guessing the male guard is just fully having a heart attack in the middle of the parking lot. He cannot run at all. He just gives up. And the female guard is like, she's not giving up. So then the lady stops filming the chase because she thinks she's going to get in trouble by the guards for filming. And she goes into her doctor's appointment. How could you not keep filming and watch this play out?
I would at least watch it play out. I may stop filming, but just hide your phone
a
little
better.
Yeah,
you're just in your car. They're not looking in your car. They're too distracted
they're trying to catch the hamburglar. Oh my gosh.
Then the reporter who's on the news says, so we have gotten word that because the female officer fell, they add a new felony charge to Caitlin, which is called escape causing bodily injury.
That's great.
But like that guard is fine. She maybe scraped her knee.
I don't care. Great. I hope that Band-Aid cost $100.
Maybe they shouldn't have let her escape in the first place. Apparently she used some sort of like hairpin to undo her handcuffs.
How'd she get hairpins?
I don't know.
Okay.
I blame those guards. But between this and the fact that they let Caitlin go.
Don't blame the transport people. This should be a fairly easy gig. This is not like prison guards. These are transpo.
She is an extreme case of crazy. It's like she's on bath salts or something, thinking she can just escape and jump over a fence, and she's just like, she's crazed.
Yeah.
But I do think between this and the fact that they let her go because the Botox warrant having the wrong birth date,
yeah,
they're not looking great in this episode.
I'm happy for the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force and the Diplomatic Security Service.
But the just regular Austin PD prison.
They're just used to people just like getting too high at the festivals and being like, all right,
they didn't know how driven Caitlin was.
Yeah.
So in November, Caitlin goes on trial and they say it's a circumstantial case. But according to Kelly Siegler's pencil metaphor, they got a lot of pencils, I have to say.
They have a lot of pencils.
Yeah, it's a pencil heavy case, which I think we should coin.
Would you say the case is leaded?
This is going to be permanent and not able to be erased, this case in history.
Yes.
It's not number two. It's number one. It's a Ticonderoga.
It's a Ticonderoga. There you go.
The star witness is Colin Costco. I mean, Colin Strickland, who is, this is not that great of a joke.
What's Strickland? You mean Kirkland?
Yeah, I call him Kirkland. It's Strickland. Also, Strickland is the name of the boss on King of the Hill, and he is a drunk SOB.
Yes, it's also very random because Strickland is also the name of the podcaster, Matt, who we meet at the beginning. So we have two Caitlins, two Stricklands.
I know.
Two of whom are very integral
and
to the story.
Two Armstrongs.
Two of whom are not. Oh, this is a lot.
What's going on in Austin?
And a Christopher.
Yeah. Austin, stay weird, Austin. Keith says that Colin is not happy to be there. And we see him on the news. So I had to watch this whole scene like 10 times to see what was happening because it's a short montage of him leaving the courtroom.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
Okay, so first he bumps into a camera lady and she like goes flying. And then he appears to trip over a cameraman who is crouching to maybe get a low shot. Or
he can't see.
He's also wearing a mask and sunglasses and a hat.
So his line of vision is so tiny that he can't see where anyone is.
So he trips over this cameraman and then either he or the cameraman go, ow, like a giant baby. Unsure which one.
And someone's looking for a lawsuit.
Uh-huh. And then he pushes this other camera guy out of the way, like full on TMZ, Nick Paparazzi. Nolte. Nick it Nolte is. Drunken pushing away a cameraman.
Yeah, it's intense.
So his lawyer very nicely says he really wanted to help, but he did not enjoy the process. I don't think he really wanted to help either.
I don't think he wanted to help at all.
I think he did not want to be involved at all. He says that he was on a break with Caitlin, Friends reference that Katie won't get.
I do. I know what on a break is.
I remember explaining to you the letter, the like 9-page letter.
Yeah.
You don't remember.
I totally remember that. Let's go. Keep going.
So he says, I was on a break with Caitlin when I first hooked up with Mariah. Then I got back together with Caitlin, even though she had still been living with him this whole time. This is what I mean when I say he's very messy.
Yeah.
And he wonders why these chicks get confused about their relationship status with him.
Okay, this is what I don't understand, though, is it could be taken like that, but it also could be that she just refused to move out.
That's true. That's true.
I would like to know which it is.
They were also business partners, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they're very entwined. Mm-hmm. You were right.
He thought he was being all sneaky by changing Mariah's name on his phone, but he shared a laptop and an iPad with Caitlin so she could see everything that he was up to. She was also tracking Mariah on Strava, which is this app. It's like athletes and wannabe athletes that want to basically humble brag, or legitimate athletes that want to chart their progress. But also I've seen many people who are like, I'm getting into running. Follow me on Strava. And then it like holds them accountable because they want to show off how many miles they're running every day.
So you knew about Strava.
Yeah,
before.
A YouTuber I follow. He's like, I'm trying to get into running and I want to pitch my Strava to people so they'll follow me. And then his girlfriend makes fun of him because he gets into running like every 6 months and has her take before and after pictures. But then he never does anything. And it's like, that's so relatable. That is me.
Is it just certain sports or do they have like alternative sports? Like say you got really into rollerblading. Would it be things like that?
And you go to Germany for the competition. Can you put it on Strava?
Hashtag not sponsored. Hashtag maybe sponsored.
I think it's any sort of movement. Like I would put my drives to Starbucks on my Strava. Mariah was a public figure in the sport. So her profile was public and she did it to like legitimately track her progress. And so people who wanted to be like her, I'm sure could be like, I look up to Mariah. Let me see how many miles she's doing every day.
That totally tracks.
It's not weird that Mariah was doing it.
She makes sense.
Legitimately doing it. Caitlin, who apparently hated Mariah and had called her saying that boy is mine, was following her on Strava. So it's not like she was a fan of the sport and trying to get tips on cycling. She's following her to know where she is at. Also, Caitlin turned her phone off during the murder, which always looks suspicious, especially if you never ever turn it off otherwise.
Come on, people.
She didn't know that the car had that internal GPS that would stay after she sold the car to CarMax.
If your car costs more than $30,000, your car's got something like that in it.
I'm sure even the cheaper ones nowadays have it.
They might. They might. I'm just saying, I feel like over a certain amount, and Jeeps, I feel like, are kind of a lot of money, you're going to have something like that in it.
Yeah. I wonder what year they started putting the internal GPS. And then you'd know, like, is my car
2016, 2015?
I bet it was way earlier.
You think so? They've always been tracking us.
Maybe. I don't know. Car people, let us know. They show during the trial the photos of her with the nose job surgery, with the bloody bandage on her nose. And they show that she also Googled herself while she was on the run, which I don't think is that weird. Maybe it's egotistical, but I think you also want to know if the police are looking for you.
100%.
They show her practicing at a gun range when she first got the gun. And they show that the bullets are most likely the same ones, but not 100%.
Yeah. It's really the car that does it and the phone. I think those are your biggest.
The defense attorney says there's a lot of sizzle, not much steak. And Keith says to him, I feel like they had a lot of steak, though.
And there's a lot at stake. It's a bad metaphor to use right now. It's just people don't like it. Also, she's probably vegan.
Good point. It's a soy steak. The attorney calls it a Jenga tower, and it's our job to poke out the blocks. He just has lots of metaphors.
Okay.
He says, we don't know what Caitlin said when she called Mariah. It might not have been that boy is mine. But I guess it was, I live with Colin and he's a bit of an a-hole.
Really?
I don't think that's what she said to Mariah.
I really highly doubt it.
I really highly doubt that it was some sort of like.
I think definitely the words back off were uttered in some.
I think it was more of a threat. Keith asked the defense attorney, how badly did it hurt you when she tried to escape? That's the only part where I liked the defense attorney. He says, every defense attorney watching across America thought, oh boy, those guys in Austin are in a load of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not what you want. But then he says, the reason she tried to escape looking like the Hamburglar was she was afraid. And when she gets afraid, she just bolts. And that's why she went to Costa Rica. She thought maybe she was going to be killed next because whoever killed Mariah would want to kill her. Which makes no sense whatsoever.
I just don't understand why they didn't do the most obvious. They really clearly should have focused fully on the boyfriend.
The problem with that is he is on camera dropping her off on the motorcycle and then the Jeep. So he couldn't be in both vehicles.
So why couldn't you say that she was out driving around looking for him and drove by the house to see if he was there yet? He had the gun with him, drove the motorcycle around the corner, came back, went upstairs, shot her, left on the motorcycle. The car is a red herring. Like there are ways that I feel like you could have played this. And then she fled because she was afraid of him.
Right. That is what they say. She fled because she was afraid of him. They could say it matches her gun because he took her gun.
He framed her for this.
Right. He has no motive. His motive, I guess, would be she's disrupting my life with my girlfriend. Like I'm killing the mistress, even though they weren't dating. She wasn't a mistress.
Or he made an advance and she turned him down.
But then that wouldn't be premeditated. Why would he have a gun with him?
He wanted to win that race and she was going to beat him. Her times were getting too good. It was a biking motive.
I think it's separate categories for men and women, but I could be wrong.
Not in gravel racing. In gravel racing, everyone's equal. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
He was, you know, 35 and maybe over the hill in biking terms. And this is an all about Eve situation. Mm-hmm. She's the up and coming ingenue and he has to get rid of her.
Get rid of her.
Interesting. I love where you're going with this.
Christopher, call me.
But he didn't flee the country. He helped the police. The optics are not great.
Yeah, that's true.
My big question about the trial, which we did not get an answer to, is did the guard who was chasing her and fell have to take the stand and relive that humiliating moment when she did give it her all and she didn't give up and she kept chasing? I will give her that.
I'm sure they didn't put them on the stand.
They just played the video, you think?
That's enough, don't you think? Yeah, it's enough humiliation.
On the video clip I saw on the news, I think it was Ashley Banfield, and she said that she wanted to put the Benny Hill music behind it. The jury only takes 118 minutes to deliberate, which you know it's bad when Keith puts it in minutes instead of hours.
It's bad. It's really bad.
She is found guilty. In Texas, defendants can decide if their sentence comes from a judge or a jury. And for some reason, she picks jury, which makes me think that that judge must have really given off the impression that she hated Caitlin.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because why else? A jury is going to be way more emotional and they have found you guilty. So you would pick a judge, I think. and not the jury.
So again, this might be something where the defense attorney has worked with this judge before and knows that they're very harsh.
Yeah.
So may have said, go with the jury.
Yeah.
Let's take our chances because you're definitely going to get this with the judge.
Right.
You might get a chance of parole with the jury.
That's a good point. This judge is classy AF. She's channeling RBG with the pearls and the collar.
Yes.
Loved it.
Love it.
The defense attorney tries to get the jury to be lenient with their sentencing by saying, if we're not allowed the opportunity to atone for our sins, we cannot grow as a society.
I thought she was innocent.
You spent the whole trial and talking to Keith Morrison saying that she didn't do it. And now you're saying that she did it, but she deserves forgiveness. You just seem like a liar, sir. So why are the jury going to listen to you? Now, I will say he can't really go up and say the verdict is wrong. She didn't do this. That's why she deserves a lenient sentence. Because then you're calling the jury idiots for doing the wrong verdict. So I guess only choice is to say she did do it, but she's really sorry. And I know we've been lying to you for 2 weeks. Apologies. It's bad either way.
It's bad either way, but I think you got to stick to what you've been saying, even for if her chance for appeal. Like you need to do that.
Yeah. So they announced that she is given 90 years, but the way the judge said it, it sounded like 9 years, and I almost had a heart attack.
Thank you. I heard 9 years too. And then Keith says 90 years, and I was like, thank you, Keith.
She kind of goes, 9 years. She swallows the tea.
It was too scary. Uh-uh.
Which is great. 90 years is great. She could have gotten up to 99 years. So they gave her almost the max.
Great.
The good Caitlin, the found Mariah's body that night, gives a very moving statement about washing the blood off her hands. It was very touching.
And how hard she fought to save her.
Mm-hmm. And then Mariah's mom speaks, which is also so sad. And she says, if you had talked to Mariah woman to woman about how you were feeling, she would have listened. She would have cared how you were feeling. And then her dad goes out on the news and says, this really shows that lack of integrity and dishonesty leads to unintended consequences, which is such shade to Colin.
It is.
It's crazy.
It is. And that tells us kind of everything we need to know. They don't really lay that hard into it on Dateline. He was sort of trying to get one over. Wow.
Yeah. He wanted his cake and eat it too.
Yep.
And the dad just fully shades him on the news. And I love that. Colin has left the sport of cycling. And I remember from last time he put on his Instagram page, I used to cycle, which I felt was very like emo of him.
It's a lot, sir. And then what do we end? We end with the other Strickland, right?
They play a clip of Mariah on a podcast saying,
yes, the other Strickland, Matt Strickland. Mm-hmm.
Saying, what superpower would you have? And she says she wishes she could stop time, which is where our title comes from. The night time stopped.
And then if they could play licensed music where they would play, if I could save time in a bottle, because that song.
What song is that?
Do you know that song?
Mm-mm. Nope.
The first thing that I'd like to do.
No.
It's really sad.
So Caitlin will most likely die in prison with that bad Costa Rican nose job. She'll have to live with that for the rest of her life.
Was it bad? I mean, she had such a tiny nose to begin with that I was like, what are you doing to your nose? Are you making it bigger?
No.
Because how can you breathe?
I know. It's very upturned, swoopy now, which I personally really like and wish I could have one of those noses. So to me, it wasn't bad, but I don't think she looks as good as she looked before. I think she looked really, really pretty before.
I would have loved to have had anybody from Caitlin Armstrong's family, friends, something to talk about. What is she like as a
human? I'll tell you what she is like. She's a guy's girl.
Who told you that?
I just can tell. She doesn't have girlfriends because they're too much drama.
Okay.
So she would prefer to be one of the guys. She's not like other girls.
Okay.
She is a tryhard. as they call them. What do you call it?
A Gone Girl.
A Gone Girl. 100% a Gone Girl. Yes. Yes. From Gillian Flynn's epic monologue from Gone Girl about the cool girl. I just get such bad vibes from her. Not just because she's a murderer. I just don't think she's nice. And I would not want to be around her.
When she's sitting in the interview room and the temperature is turned down and then she speaks and her voice is kind of deep and you're like, oh, no, because she just says, mm-hmm. So can I go? And it's just crystal clear, no accent, just like a cutting knife.
Do you know what's been going on? And she goes, Colin told me that a girl in the cycling community passed away.
That flat.
No emotion that this girl was horrifically murdered.
And doesn't move, doesn't speak with her hands, has her hands in her lap and doesn't shift.
Statue.
The only move she really does, which Keith confirms, is those knots. Like, I'm understanding. I'm understanding. Oh boy. Did we get any more with the sister?
Yes. The sister was working or running a camp, which I remember thinking was very funny that you have a camp with children and there's a fugitive just hanging out with you.
But she doesn't know that at the time, right? They didn't know what was going on.
She doesn't know it. She told the family she was just going to go visit and then go back to Texas. But she steals the sister's passport.
But she shows up out of nowhere?
I think so, yeah.
Wait a minute. So did the sister give her, because she must have also had some sort of other ID of the sister's, I'm guessing, or was it just the passport?
Just the passport. Hmm. And the sister told police she didn't know where it was, like where it had gone to. So she didn't know where her sister was.
But the sister had to find the passport. I'm just saying, if you don't use your passport a lot, like, do you know where your passport is?
Oh, yeah. She'd have to like dig for it. Right. Yeah, I know where it is. But right. Like, if someone came into my house, they wouldn't know where it was.
It's just it's a bunch of levels of creepy. I really. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So we don't know if the sister was involved or not, but they never said that she was.
Did the sister like her is more what I want to know. What's their dynamic?
Right. She could write a book. Yeah. B-roll bonanza.
We get cycling, skiing.
Yes, so much cycling. There's this steaming cup of coffee.
I wrote that one too.
The hottest cup of coffee I've ever seen. I thought it was a fire they were showing at first. Like someone was making marshmallows on the fire. There's this huge sign on the side of a building that is recruiting for the Austin Police Department.
Oh boy.
It's huge, and it's a bunch of smiling cops, and it says, comes with a $15,000 signing bonus, and you can lose a prisoner and fall and get filmed, too. I know it wasn't a cop, it was a corrections guard or transport officer, but it's still funny.
It is still funny.
It's still funny how many boo-boos the old law enforcement department. But anyways, it's $15,000 signing
bonus.
That's
kind of intense.
So I don't think you want a cop who like needs a $15,000 signing bonus that badly that you're going to give him a gun and like put them in charge of people.
I don't think of Austin as a place where like people come to be a cop.
No.
They need to recruit like right out of high school.
Yeah.
You need a lot of young cops. I don't know. It feels like not that kind of a place.
Mm-mm.
The interrogation room that Caitlin is sitting in is insanely soundproof. Did you notice that?
No, maybe they podcast in there.
I'm not kidding. It's almost like I know that Austin's kind of a music city. Like, I wonder if they do jam sessions on the side because they do a slow pan and it's sort of lit dramatically at one point. And it is like a recording studio. The whole sides, back, wall to ceiling. It has that foam soundproofing on it. What are they doing in there? Why do they need all the soundproofing? It's kind of creepy.
I don't know. Yeah, that is creepy. Fashion police? The racers seem to put their sunglasses upside down in their helmet, which seems like a new twist on the Guy Fieri, like it goes on the back of your head.
What do you mean upside down?
Like, I'm going to take my glasses off.
Yeah, do it. Show me what you're talking about.
Upside down like this, and then hook them into the holes on the side of their helmet like that when they're not racing, because Mariah and Colin both do it.
So do we think that's because when you put it in with the curved side down, it gets stuck? But if you put it curved side up, it's really easy to flip them out real fast. But it seems so difficult if you're trying to grab them because you have to completely flip them to put them on your face.
I know.
It's a lot of...
I know. I don't understand what sporty people do. This is like secondhand nature to them. That's just the thing, I guess, with the helmets.
Wouldn't you just think you'd need to wear just goggles?
Yeah. They're all wearing those wraparound ones. Because the mud comes up in your face.
Yeah, that's what those glasses are for, period.
Yeah.
You've got to wear the wraparounds.
You need ones that have little mini windshield wipers. Choop, 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 little squeegees.
TM. We haven't TM'd anything in a minute. What is that called? Biker blades. Biker blades.
Biker blades. There we go.
Don't take that. That is TM copyright K&K.
Why are we not just inventors full time? Because we'd have no follow through.
Yeah, I also don't know how to get stuff made.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to have my Cricut. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have it because I don't know actually how to like get bulk mass t-shirts made.
Right. No, I don't.
Which also, don't forget, Crime Con is coming. I have a Cricut.
Oh, yeah.
I got you. So we do have one other important category, which is brands unhappy being on Dateline.
Yeah. Austin PD.
Yeah. Austin PD. Yoga.
Yeah.
CarMax, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She got her car sold very fast and for $12,000. Seems pretty good.
Pool burger.
For sure.
Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Lots of burgers are having a hard time in this episode. Not gravel racing, though, because I will say all of the really uplifting speeches that were given in this episode. And also, Mo makes gravel racing look really cool. And like cool people like Mo want to do this sport. Mm-hmm. So it makes you want to get into it.
And the family throws a charity race after she passes away. Like, it seems like a very good community.
It really does, for sure. I think that Mo does it a lot of justice. And then, unfortunately, then you get Colin, who I think might be in the minority, that kind of person that only wants to drive a diesel.
Yeah. Keith says, some people get so big in their field and they somehow remain humble. And he says how great Mariah was at that. And I feel like he didn't say ... And then there's Colin, but he could have.
And what Dateline could have done is edit it to show Colin with like Gatorade on one sleeve, Red Bull on the other. Right. Yeah. But I'm sure Mo had sponsors too.
Yeah, it's just his vibe is douche Cotty.
It was weird because at one point, the friend that was talking about them, last name was Stout, I don't remember his name. He was talking about them at the very beginning of the episode. He was talking about the trailer business. And he said, James Stout, he said that they were like this power couple, this Mighty Morphin Power Rangers couple that came together and were like a super couple. But I don't think they're like a cool power team.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Titles?
I just copied all mine from last time.
What were they?
They're not good.
Read them.
Nama, stay away from me, Caitlin.
Oh, boy.
Ari knows something. N-O-S-E.
Oh, that's gone.
Yeah, and then there was lots of, like, bicycle by women. Two wheels, two women. I don't think I ever landed anywhere with that. And I never landed anywhere with teal.
I still couldn't get teal. I have, for some reason, had no Mo hiding, Caitlin. I was trying to get something with Mo. Yeah. No, it's terrible. And then I had, what if I told you Caitlin was a stone cold killer? Because Christopher keeps asking Keith in questions. What if I told you this? And then, well, what if I told you this? And so that's what I did. And then did we get here last time with Liv Armstrong? Did we get there last time?
No.
I'm trying to get somewhere with it, but I couldn't.
I think Teal probably wishes he was named Aquamarine.
Teal's a really good like surfer name, though.
No, but it could be just one color different and it could have aqua and marine in it.
Yeah. And he would probably love that. You're right. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This case has got some justice, which is great because Mo deserves it.
Absolutely. And be your own namaste.
Oh.
The light in me sees the light in you. Just for wishes. We're all just God's creatures on this big ball called Earth. And we're walking that path alone. It's a ride and it's a trip. And we're all just tripping down along. And no matter how much namaste that you do, you're still just namaste-ing, I am doing the best I can. And that's all it is. And we're all on that ride together.
And we're all on that wave together.
Hang ten, bruh.
Hang ten, everybody. Bye.
Bye. I mean, I wouldn't because he's like more of a fatherly figure to us. But to many of the Dateline listeners, they get hot, heavy, and horny for Keith.
Stop it.
Someone sent me an Apple Podcast review of Dateline's show and it's,
oh my gosh,
explicit. I'm gonna post
that's
it.
I'm upset on behalf of Keith. I'm protective. I don't like that one bit.
And they get a lead that Caitlin has diet. Kate, he's making such a stink face.
I don't know what any of these poses are. Let me get my Google.
These are just basic poses. They get a lead.
Is a warrior two like this?
Yeah.
Hey.
They get a lead that Caitlin...
Is a tree like this?
Yes. With the one leg up. Maybe Chobani yogurt, which I learned after our episode last week that they're a wonderful company who does really good things. They hire immigrants and they give them stocks in the company and like really good things. So good for them. Go Chobani.
But how much expensive?
I don't know, but they give to the community. I don't think it's that much more expensive.
Still less than the ones in the glass jar.
Yes, less. I believe yes, less than we.
Oui? I'm not mad at Chobani.
Oui?
I don't know. I don't know them. I don't know her.
I just got told by several people how great they are. And I was like,
okay, good.
Okay, lesson learned.
I will try a Chobani next time I buy yogurt in 2 years.
I want to support them because apparently great company. I don't know if they have vegan yogurt is the only thing. And I do prefer a non-dairy yogurt. So I'm not sure if they make that.
I can't help
okay.
you.
The regular
that.
Yogurt does not sit well with my belly. Plus, always trying to go vegan. My lifelong goal.
You're doing great.
I'm doing so great.
Dude, really good. Cheese is hard. Cheese is gonna be hard.
But yogurt is easy. So I'm giving up the easy stuff.
That's fine. Can you be a vegan except for cheese?
A cheesetarian?
Everything else, but you're keeping the cheese.
Yeah, I could probably do that. It would just have some sort of flexible name to it. Flexitarian.
I wouldn't tell anyone that you weren't a vegan and you still ate fancy cheese. I wouldn't tell. No one on this podcast would tell.
Our listeners, are you judging me?
Yeah, I'm saying they wouldn't tell on you. And life is short. You need your cheese.
It should not be so strict because it turns away people. That's how I feel.
You need cheese.